Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls, where usually me, Kirk, and the other voice on the other end of the country, Kyle, would talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. But I wanted to talk today about some news about NYPD Blue, and I also wanted to include Papa Asher, fan favorite, and most requested person on the show.
Hello.
Yeah, no one says anything when I do intros.
Hello.
A couple things over the last couple weeks have happened regarding NYPD Blue, and we haven't said anything about it because we've been putting out new episodes that have been banked, but I did want to talk about them. Number one, NYPD Blue used to hold the record for most Emmy nominations for a single season. It was 27 nominations for its first year with Dave Caruso. And then I read a bunch of different articles about how it's been beaten now by Game of Thrones, their last season.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most controversial seasons I remember hearing about, because I, from what I remember my friends talking about it, it's not a very good season.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but the seasons before this last one weren't as good as the beginning. They were all going downhill anyway, so, I mean, I'd probably agree with that, but...
This article that I read here from Michael Schneider at Variety.
I love that guy.
Yeah, great dude.
Schneiderheads, yeah.
When Game of Thrones made history this year by scoring 32 Emmy nominations, the most ever for a series in a single year, it broke the record that previously been held by the premiere season of NYPD Blue. It had been 25 years since Steve Bochco, I think I always spell that, I say that name wrong. Bochco or Bochco, whatever.
And you botched it, Kirk.
I botched it. And David Milch, cop drama, helped change TV storytelling, ushering in a new era of more sophisticated, commercially successful small screen that eventually led to its new golden age. It also altered the Emmy landscape. In 1994, NYPD Blue landed 27 nominations, a feat that wouldn't be topped until this year. It pushed the primetime envelope as no other broadcast show had, testing the boundaries of sex and language, and presenting complicated characters whom you didn't always root for. Its TV DNA led to such shows as The Sopranos, The Shield, and in turn spawned the explosion in original series on cable and then streaming.
Am I supposed to understand that you called a podcast so you could read to me?
I wanted to get your opinions on the thoughts in this article and two others, but if you'd like to end it so you can go back to your painkillers and whatever the hell you were doing, you can.
Okay, what's the other two articles?
I wanted to ask questions about this one still, because
so
it's not over.
We got the point. You got more nominations. Now, what do you want to know? Grasshopper.
Among the 27 nominations were a nod for drama series, and nearly the entire cast was recognized, including Dennis Franz, David Caruso for lead drama actor. They were both nominated for the same show and both lead actor. Amy Brenneman, Sharon Lawrence, and Gail O'Grady for supporting. It took all five slots in the drama writing category, and it ultimately won 6 Emmys in that first year. The question I had was...
Do you still have it?
The question I have is... Because we collectively like Jimmy Smith's and Jimmy Smith's seasons, would you say that the first season is actually objectively better and deserved more Emmys than the Jimmy Smith seasons?
No.
We gotta for sure know.
What are we, like, are we talking as a whole, or what are we basing it off of?
Well, because...
It's a pretty easy question, Kyle.
As a whole, no, because David Caruso and... Amy Brenneman's acting is garbage in the first season.
But according to the Emmy noms and its history, it was the best season because
you have to consider that it was the first time anybody had seen it.
Very true. And what year was this? Like, how many, like, shows were actually on TV? Like, they weren't going up against a lot of, like, knockouts, you know what I mean?
1994.
Yeah, there was, like, it's not like how there is... Now how there's so much TV to watch, like, it's so hard to pick fucking people to, like, that one chick from Game of Thrones had to put herself in for acting because HBO didn't think she'd have a chance, and she ended up getting nominated. So it's like, there's, like, way more people out there than there was back then. And like Dad said, it's the first time anyone had ever seen anything like that. So, like Game of Thrones, they went crazy and nominated him for everything.
But what's weird, so, I think in this case, as opposed to that one, it seemed like they backloaded all the Emmy nominations to make a point for the last season of Game of Thrones. And nobody here has seen it, but I remember coworkers and friends talking about how much they didn't like it compared to other seasons. When we talk about NYPD Blue, I remember when we were doing the show, the first thing we kept saying was, we can't wait until Smits gets in here, because that's when the show really takes off. But people went crazy for that first season, and so did the Emmy nomination committee.
No, I hear what you're saying, and like factually, it's like, you're right. Like, and it makes sense, but like, if you take those seasons as a whole, Amy Brenneman and fucking David Caruso are not good.
Not
compared
good.
To Smits and even fucking Diane Russell for in the beginning. Like, in the beginning, Diane Russell's fine. Like, they are not good. When they leave, the show gets, like, drastically
okay, so
better,
I think that's a little harsh. They're not as good as the people after them, and they're not our taste, but they're not terrible. And I think it has to do with coming from a person that's only watched like two episodes of Game of Thrones, so I really don't have any idea. You're talking about regular television versus cable television.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about they broke a mold with the thing, given side boob and butt and that kind of stuff, and it was never seen before, and the writing was well done. And it just kind of broke the mold. Now, since then, after that, they had already seen it. So I think you're less likely to get that wow factor. The other thing I think is, I don't know about budget, but I would be surprised if NYPD Blue had a huge budget. HBO's Game of Thrones has a gigantic budget.
Yeah,
so they can do all kinds of stuff.
They were at a million something per episode.
Right. And there's no way that NYPD Blue had that. So, you know, and things have evolved just in television, right? So you have like dragons flying around on the screen and cool special effects, whereas in NYPD Blue it was all actor-based and dialogue-based and not a whole lot of action. Occasionally some action, but not a lot.
And their action was like slow motion.
Right, it was
and
always
blurry.
Yeah. I think that the shows, the series after the first one was better, but when that came out, I remember it being a phenomenon because no one had seen anything like it.
It's also important that in this article, of course, written by Schneider, we're all big fans, he mentions...
Schneid!
The NYPD Blue craze that happened. It created a promise of, here's the level that TV could get to, and then regular broadcast TV didn't pick it up. What picked it up was cable. They talk about how, Schneider talks about how that was then like The Sopranos. It was then stuff on HBO. It was stuff on all the cable channels. It wasn't stuff on broadcast TV. They went back to more easy.
And I understand that you can nominate yourself.
I don't know how it works, but.
You can.
So do you think the show itself just said, we're going to put in for all of these things?
On Game of Thrones, she went to HBO and said, hey, I want you guys, I think you should nominate me for this year of Game of Thrones as an actress. And they said that, they basically told her, like, that she wasn't in their plans and it wasn't going to be a part of their, like, award package. So she went and did it herself. Like, she put out whatever you have to put out and got whatever you needed to get nominated or get approved to get, like, looked at, and then she got nominated, so... You can't do it without, like...
So do you think it's possible that HBO just... I mean, the reason why they got so many nominations because HBO did that for them? Said, so we're just going to put your name in all of these categories? Whereas the nothing happened like that for NYPD Blue. I don't know what the rules have changed or what.
I will say something that's interesting about the NYPD Blue nominations. Just some numbers... NYPD Blue ultimately won 20 Emmys out of 84 nominations during 12 seasons. The first year, they had somebody in every drama acting category, but I mentioned Franz and Caruso were both up for lead actor. Totoro, who played James Martinez, and Medavoy, Clark, I can't remember his name now all of a sudden. That's going to bother me. But Gordon Clapp. They both were up for...
Who's Clark?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Oh. Both of them were up for...
supporting?
Supporting. So they ran the like whole table, and then I looked at who won, and the only person that won was Sipowicz.
As it should be.
Well, that's one thing. That was a little piece of drama. I think they were both nominated for the Golden Globe and the Emmy. And the Golden Globe went to Caruso. The Emmy went to Dennis Franz. Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, I talked about it a little bit.
So who gives a shit they each got an award?
Like, yeah. And also, like, you know how sometimes these award things are jokes anyway.
Because, yeah, if you look at who won Best Drama Series, you'd be like, who wanted that?
Do you know how, sometimes they'll give somebody an award at the end of their career just because they hadn't gotten something before?
Yeah, yeah.
And here's Game of Thrones, which broke all kinds of, you know, viewing records and all that kind of nonsense. You know, now it's their last one, so they threw stuff at them.
That's what I suggested when people were talking about it. And the thing, also, because Kyle asked what won Best Drama Series that year, Picket Fences.
Okay.
I've
heard of the show, never seen it. And they did the same shit with Lord of the Rings. They waited till the last one and then gave it a bunch of awards.
But
so,
the only
that's how they do it.
The only caveat I have to that is Lord of the Rings, all three of those movies were made at the same time. They all have the same quality, and they all basically...
The first one's better than all of them, so...
Okay, I mean, I just disagree with you completely, but that's fine.
And you can be totally wrong. You have in most of your life.
But the point I was making is the last season of Game of Thrones, there were people picketing it. Not picketing it, but like protesting it. There were nerds online demanding it be remade because they thought it was so bad. Which is like...
And you know what?
What makes
them
nerds?
Those people are wrong. Retarded.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
I'm not a nerd.
Okay. Alright.
Those people are retarded. Like, shit happens, man.
Just to highlight something really quick. Our father just said he's not a nerd. What movie did we go see an hour ago?
One of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
What's it called?
It's called Blinded by the Light.
And why did you think it was one of the best movies of all time?
It was moving. It was a feel-good movie.
And it was about...
A Pakistani guy living in England in the 80s.
And his whole life was changed by...
Music.
A guy dad wants to blow.
But no, the point I'm making, and
dude, he loves Star Trek. Get the fuck out of here. He's a nerd. We're done
also,
talking.
Star Trek: The Next Generation was nominated for an Emmy.
Oh, do you know that on that CBS streaming channel, there's going to be a new Star Trek series called Picard?
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah, except you canceled it.
My God, are we going to have this discussion
there
now?
There we go. Sorry. Now here comes the nerd rage because he can't watch...
But Picard! So here's the deal.
I'm hard for Picard!
But here's the deal, guys.
Okay, what's number two?
Okay, what's the second article? Who gives a fuck about how many awards we're nominated for? Game of Thrones last season sucked. Like, what's the next article?
Did you have something else to add?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, if you do it, now's the time.
Yeah, you would think, huh? The next two.
What do you want to add?
Nothing. It doesn't matter.
Add it.
We all agree. All heard that the last season was bad, and to heap all these awards on the last season of a show that is so divisive in terms of the fandom is kind of like shitty, because there's at least. A good amount of people that think it was their worst work, but they're still getting all these awards.
Those awards don't mean anything in the long run.
No, not really. But they beat out NYPD Blue, so we have to pay attention. The next two articles are related, and it has to do with something we talked about a little while ago, which is the NYPD Blue reboot. This is from Deadline, from Nelly... I'm going to butcher your last name. Andreeva.
Nelly Andreeva?
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, I know, you're always on Deadline.
Is Deadline even like a legit website?
A lot of people quote Deadline on shows and stuff. Also, she's just repeating what has already
been
mentioned.
Well, what did she say?
I don't know. Can I say it?
Let's get to that part.
Can I say it out loud?
Can I finish? Can I finish? Can I finish?
In one of the biggest surprises this past pilot season, and ABC's NYPD Blue reboot did not go to series, but was kept in mid-season contention with a possibility for redevelopment. It now appears that this particular iteration of NYPD Blue, a sequel to the original Emmy-winning series, is dead. It is not being redeveloped, and the cast was released in June.
So they ain't doing it. They ain't doing it.
There are conversations about continuing it, but possibly in a different iteration. ABC Entertainment President Carrie Burke told Deadline during TCA on Monday. Then it talks about the details and the alumni that were working on it, just mentioning that it is in fact dead. And then the other article, which I found on TV Line, made by a different Michael Asuelo.
Who were the alumni working on it?
We talked about it when we first mentioned it. It was like Nicholas Wooten, Stephen Bochco's son, Jesse, and I can't remember the third guy. And I just took it off my phone. But it was all previous writers and producers on the show. And they were working as early as season 3, from what I saw. So it was dudes that had been with the show for quite a while, and it wasn't just some, like, upstarts.
Those uppity upstarts.
Well, this other guy on TV Line, Michael Asuelo, and I think he's only repeating what other people found out, too. The revival didn't make it, and now we know why. The main problem was that the bar was so high, ABC's entertainment president Carrie Burke told TV Line of the heartbreaking decision to pass on the pilot. It was a very good pilot. On any other network and any other circumstance, that show gets on the air. For us, we kept the bar really high. We all felt like unless we can really advance the ball from the original, let's let the original rest. They did as good a job as one could do with something that is revered. It looked for a while like they were going to reshoot, and then they decided not to. They talk about who was going to be on the show. Kim Delaney and Bill Brochip, the gentleman who played John Irving and the woman who played Diane Russell, were coming back. The original guys who were creating it were Matt Olmsted and Nick Wooten, both whom worked on the NYPD Blue original series. So the only thing that I was wanting to bring up is at least they didn't put something out that was subpar and they knew it.
No, I think that's good. I'm just glad they're not putting anything out, to be honest with you. Just to let it be, create something new. Like, if Jesse Bochco really wants to do some kind of TV shit, like, create something new and just start over. I don't know.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, my thought is that they could be saying it was a great show. On any other network it would play. How do we know that? How do we know it just wasn't crap and that's the way they're covering it?
And if it was such a great show that it would play on any other network, why not put it out and see what happens? Like, if it's so good that any other network would take this pilot and put it out, why not put it out then? Like, what do you have to lose? If they like it, you have a hit. If they don't, okay, scrap it. Like, I don't know. I just don't get that reasoning either. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, maybe they know that the fan base is just so rabid and takes it very seriously. But I think I was just happy.
Well, fucking just rename it and don't have it be an NYPD Blue remake. You know what I mean?
I mean, it seems like it makes sense to me. What I didn't understand is when we talked about it originally, it was going to be a sequel where Theo is investigating his own father's murder. So it'd be Andy Sibowitz is already dead. And he's on the case to try and figure out who killed him. And he would act a lot like his father.
Stupid.
Yeah, which is the dumbest thing ever. Because Theo Sipowicz would not act like Andy Sipowicz.
Well, I don't know if in real life they would have somebody investigating their father's murder. That's too close to home.
Yeah, that's the logical thing that doesn't make any sense. But they were... And the story is they asked Dennis Franz and he's like, nah... So it was, they wanted him to be a part of it, and then he just said no.
He nailed it the first time. Why would he want to come back and give it any chance to not doing it right and then have him to live with that? That's like Jordan.
Because they're doing it all wrong. You don't need him for a full season. You need him for like 5-6 episodes tops, And you have something where he either like has a heart attack or does end up getting like shot in the line of duty. But he when we left, he was in charge of the precinct, so he doesn't go out on shit. And so I don't know.
Okay, but let's do the math. The guy's gonna have to be
60?
70.
70? I mean, yeah, he started that show, and he must have been at least 40.
He was the oldest guy out of everybody.
Well, he was younger than Vince, Vince Catelli.
Yeah, but the Vince was kind of a...
He was an off character.
Yes. Of all main characters, he was the oldest one.
For sure.
And it's been how many years now?
It was 12... Well, it was 12 years of him being on the force, so assuming he started at 40, which is lowballing it, he was then 52 by the time it ended. And then we've been away from it for 25 additional years.
Okay, so that puts him 73, 75 years old.
That's from the beginning of the show.
Still working as a cop?
Well, that's why I thought you have two episodes with him in it. You just establish he's there, but he's not going to be around. Yeah. Like,
well, maybe you have him not even be in the force. He's already retired.
He just happens to get married.
Yeah, exactly. What doesn't make any sense to me is what made the show great was they created very grounded characters and then made them really human. And then the first thing they wanted to do with this pilot is, okay, so we can't get Sipowicz again, so we're just going to make his son exactly the same way. Which, if you watch the entire scope of that show, Theo wouldn't have ended up like Sipowicz because Theo doesn't have Andy Sipowicz's dad, who was racist and a drunk and this and that. Andy was getting on the right track and starting to get his life together, and Theo saw that Andy Sipowicz, so he wouldn't then grow up to be how Andy Sipowicz would have been.
Right, and Sipowicz was the way he was based on life events.
Yeah, exactly.
Not on genetics, so it's not going to pass down to the guy.
So I agree. If you had a show where it's like, oh, guess what? We have a guy, he's just like Sipowicz. Okay, then don't make it his son. Make his son the, make him the John Clark character, or Silver Spoons, Ricky Schrodes. Make him the, like, fresh-faced, like, trying to get it together, and then he just happens to get a partner that's a little bit like his dad, but in a different way.
Yeah, you can, you know, but...
Or you could have Sipowicz be retired, and he's running, like, a fish shop or something weird.
He works with fish.
Running a fish shop.
Because he loves fucking fish. And
they got a lot of fish shops there in New York, do they?
Dude, Sipowicz raised fish the entire series.
I know he had a fish tank. The difference between having a fish tank and a fish store.
Dude, he kept that fish tank pristine.
I don't think there are... I don't know. I'm not in the fish world. But are there...
You aren't now.
Are there stores dedicated just to fish?
There must there are okay. It's also New York. There's stores for everything. There was a Lebowski.
You got any fish stores there, bud?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't looked.
Right, and you've walked around the whole city. I know because I went around half of it with you. You don't run into them. Sorry,
I'm sure. I feel like that was kind of a dig for no reason whatsoever.
Point being, is I've seen a lot of it because we walked that day.
I think if you were smart, you just make the show with the truth, which is all. Dennis Franz really likes to do now is go fish. He said after he got done, he went fishing and said, I'll give a year off from acting, and then just never stopped. So you give kind of a tribute to him by saying, oh, he's out, he's retired. What is he doing?
Or he's out with the fish. Or you have Theo on the force trying to solve a case, a really hard one, and he's in communication with his father saying, hey, here's what's going on. What do you think?
I mean,
that way he doesn't have to be in every episode. He doesn't have to be... I don't know. It doesn't matter because they're not going to do it.
I mean, it's true. We were spared, and that's the thing. Not. That's the thing I wanted to take away from hearing about it is that. But now that you guys put some cynicism in it, kind of destroyed it. Was the idea that there are TV executives who watch a pilot and go, "This isn't good enough. It's good in our opinion. It's not good enough for this show."
So if you're a TV executive and you make a pilot that's not good enough, Are you going to say, that's not good enough?
Or are you going to say it's the best?
Publicly. Are you going to say, oh, you know, that worked, but for whatever reason we can't do it? Because, hey, you know, should you be the executive if you're making pilots that aren't any fucking good?
Well, they make a lot of pilots.
I know. Anyway.
it's not like they're lacking money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like they're lacking money.
No, but they don't spend it like, I don't know. Go ahead. I already said my piece.
The other thing I read, but I don't remember the specifics.
That's a lot of reading.
You're a reader, aren't you?
Is that what you're doing here at night?
Somebody
reading.
Somebody interviewed Jimmy Smith about his new show, Blue City Law, I guess it's called.
I don't think it's called Blue City Law.
It's something City Law. I'm pretty sure it's Blue City Law.
It's not Blue City Law.
Okay, well, let's ask Google. Hey, Google, am I right and Dad's wrong? Let's find out.
Let's find out.
Jimmy Smith.
God, I don't know who I want to be right in this scenario.
I think it's called Bay City.
Oh, you think it's called Bay City Law, do you?
Not sure.
Does he play A.C. Slater all grown up and he's a detective? He's solving crimes in the Saved by the Bell town of Bay City.
So he's an ex, you know, rock and roller, Bay City Rollers. Now he's Bay City policeman.
I mean, you guys really got to take this act on the road.
Are you going to find it?
It can't be that hard. All you have to do is Google Jimmy Smith's
new show.
Shh.
No, literally, you just hit Jimmy Smith's and pictures of his shows pop up.
You know how that thing works?
Oh. It's not. It's called Bluff City Law.
Oh, here, let me pull down my pants so you can kiss.
Oh, you both were wrong, so you both can kiss each other's ass.
No, I said I think. I wasn't certain. And
you said Bay City, though.
And
you said Bay City, though.
That's what I said. I said I think.
You said Bay City, though.
I wasn't certain.
I'm willing to accept that we both were wrong.
And I didn't say, oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, really?
I'm willing to accept we were both wrong. It makes me the bigger man.
Oh, really?
Here's
oh, really?
Here's the deal. He was being interviewed for Buff City Law. That's where it's where The Rock is a lawyer.
Who is going to be interviewed?
Jimmy Smith.
For what?
Bluff City Law.
He
was asked about the NYPD Blue reboot. And he said, candidly, well, I get text messages from those guys all the time because I keep in touch with them. Nicholas Wooten and Matt Olmsted and whatever. And they basically sent me pictures and messages and then ended them with, too bad you're dead.
Jimmy Smith died?
His character died on NYPD Blue. He was wishing he could be there but couldn't because they killed off his character. Anyway, apparently that elicits no reaction.
What kind of reaction do you want?
What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say to that? They shouldn't have killed Jimmy Smith. Spoiler alert, we haven't gotten there in our podcast, but Kirk's just throwing it out there.
Nope. What we've learned is we're cutting it all out. So,
but, like, I don't know what you're looking for me to say about Jimmy Smith's opinion about not being in a TV show that's no longer happening.
That's not being made anyway.
I wish he could be in Dexter again. You know what I'm saying? I liked him in Dexter.
I liked him in Dexter too.
The Cuban accent was on point.
I think he was in something called L.A. Law once.
He was in L.A. Law.
Yeah.
He's also on The West Wing.
You want to talk about that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why he left my people.
To go to The West Wing, which is kind of a bummer. But I would say if there's any final thoughts. But I don't think there are any from you both.
Well, that's rude of you to say. But all right.
What was that? Hello.
So we're being rude now.
Well, I don't think. I think we've exhausted everything we're going to get out of these articles that are.
I'm glad they're not making a new show.
I am too. I think even if it was good, we'd be finding problems with it.
Well, I think if they're going to make it, they need to make it on
Hulu.
On a streaming, so they can do whatever they want to do, versus on a network.
That would be good.
Some of the appeal of the original show was that it pushed the boundaries,
mm-hmm.
and it would need to continue to push boundaries, and you're not going to do that anymore.
Especially now.
They couldn't use the N-word on TV if they put it on the network now. No way. No way. They'd be shut down like that. And the actor that uttered it would be, like, blackballed.
Well, I don't know. I think... Was it
kidding?
Was it used? I'm trying to remember if it was used in Breaking Bad, because I thought it was.
And where was Breaking... Oh, it was on
That was on FX.
No.
FX.
No, AMC.
They said like the F word and stuff, and like, I think you've heard it in music, but I don't think anyone had ever used the word.
Because I think it's been used on like predominantly black shows, I would guess.
It has been, but it's, you know what I'm saying.
It's used a lot in Atlanta, but I mean.
Yeah, it's Atlanta.
But aren't they all of the African-American persuasion?
Most of them, yes.
Yeah.
It would be a social media fucking firestorm, like the second it happened.
Yeah, society has changed, man.
Which is weird, because if like they aired Blackboard Jungle, where Sipowicz uses it, I think a lot of people would be all up in arms, but...
I'd be interested to see, because I know some channels play NYPD Blue, when they play that episode, if they don't bleep that word.
Yeah, that is a good question, because I've never seen that episode on TV.
But I wonder, like, it's interesting to think, like, do they bleep that word? I feel like they probably do.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls, especially this off-format episode. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show if they have a rating and review system so that the show could be seen. More people watch NYPD Blue because that's what this is really about. NYPD Blue, the show, is on Hulu and Amazon. All 12 seasons are there to stream. We have an Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, a Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. It's mostly to announce new episodes and talk about listeners of the show and watchers of NYPD Blue about the greatness that is the show. If you need more NYPD Blue info in your life, there's always True Blue, a book written about the first couple seasons. There's What Would Sipowicz Do, a collection of articles about the show. There's also Gene Kendall's Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon. It's all out there. I believe the next episode will be in regular format, and we're coming to the end of season 4, which means another binging with Ben. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Have a good one, and watch more NYPD Blue. Anyway, anything else?
It is what it is.
Anything else?
No, I got nothing. I saw Hobbs and Shaw.
How did that go?
Oh, come on.
As you might expect it.
Did you see The Rock holding a truck and a plane at the same time? Without getting his arms ripped out of the sockets?
Yeah. That's not the only... There's so much shit in it, like, I can't even... Like, you just have to watch it to believe what I tell... Like, the things I want to bring up and tell you what they did. Like, you just have to watch. Like, it's unbelievable.
I do know that at some point, The Rock just jumps out of a building and runs down the side of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very excited about that scene, at least.
Yeah. With no harness to catch a guy who has a harness. Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, Jason Statham, you're going to be interested in this. Jason Statham, he's going down an elevator on the outside of the building at the same speed that
The Rock is running down.
What was that?
Because they do things differently. You learn real quick. One of them's smooth. And the other one's more, like, rough and tumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of great cameos. It was entertaining. The dumbest movie I've ever seen, but entertaining.
Well, they're going to be making more.
Okay,
because...
so here's the question. What would drive you to go see that movie?
Oh, Ken invited me, Maria, and he bought the tickets, so we said sure.
Fuck, I wish I had your friends.
Like he bought a bunch of tickets to go with him and his boyfriend and their friends. They had two extra tickets, and he asked if we wanted them. I said, sure, we went. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gone.
That's awesome. I want to see it.
Like, he wants to go see that stupid fucking Gerard Butler Angel Has Fallen one tomorrow. Me and Maria are like, no, not happening.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
You'll go see Hobbs and Shaw, but not that one.
Okay, it's different.
Yeah, because that one, me and Maria were laughing through the whole time. It was great. Like, we just looked at each other and were like, what the fuck's going on?
Hobbs and Shaw.
Kirk, have you heard the How Did This Get Made?
No, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to listen to it until I've seen it.
Okay. Because... Well, there's a recurring joke in it. Oh, fuck. It's the way The Rock pronounces Samoa.
Uh-huh.
He keeps going, yeah, we're going to go back to the Samoa Island. Samoa. And it's just really funny because he's probably saying it right, but it just sounds ridiculous.
Oh, man. I'm so excited.
It's really, really stupid fun.
We gotta see it. We saw Blinded by the Light today. There was no explosions. Nobody jumped out of any buildings.
I would highly recommend it.
It's a good movie, but yeah.
Yeah, I heard it was good.
It's very good. I dug it a lot. I just think we just disagree on how good it is. Because I think it's a really... I'm sorry?
How many movies about Indian kids discovering rock and roll music do we need, though? You know what I mean?
It's a whole subgenre.
How many do we have?
Well, the stupid Beatles one just came out, like, a month ago.
Well, that one's slightly different. That one's more like a Twilight Zone episode.
Was it like Yesterday? Is that what that was called?
Yeah. And from what I hear, that one doesn't even have like an ending. People went and saw it and said it doesn't end. It just is like, okay, the movie's over. Anyway, I mean, I can do the outro on my own. You guys ready to bounce?
Oh, that's it, huh? He can do the outro on his own.
I tried to do it and then I got cut off, and it's already going to be it's a rough and tumble episode, much like Hobbes's. So,
I can't. There's a line in the movie. I swear to God, this is a line. This guy goes like, this guy looks at one of the characters and goes, "If you do that, you're going to commit genocide." And it gets close up on the guy's face. He turns and looks at the guy, and he looks at him and goes, "Genocide, schmenicide." And then, boom, cuts to a different scene.
I have to see this movie. I have to see it.
Uh-huh.